I have a message on my heart today. It's a new year, it's a new page, and I want to start off 2024 with a focus on growth. And like Pastor Jamie said, we even have a word for that here at Christ the Cornerstone: spiritual enrichment and growth. So I want to talk about how we enrich our relationship with God and how do we develop this personal relationship with God. So all the scriptures referenced are on your overheads. Let's jump right in to growth. Most growth comes out of a revelation during a hardship. I wish there was another way, but hardships are the great revealer of the contents of the heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Luke 6:45. James encourages us in chapter 1, when troubles come your way, consider it pure joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So to grow, we need to allow ourselves to be stretched. Not fun, usually. But God's intention is that we don't just endure trials. We're meant to learn from them. Trials can strengthen a marriage or end a marriage. Trials can develop our faith in God, draw us closer to God, or make us angry and blame God. But God wants us to come through trials with a testimony and allow God to use what he has brought you through, what he has brought you out of, to help another. So let's see what God's word says about trials. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul tells us that God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. And we only learn that through trials. God comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others. Farther down in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, Paul goes on to tell us that we do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of our affliction that we endured in Asia. For we were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. We thought we would never live through it. In fact, we thought we would die. So just despair. But as a result, Paul continues, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely on God. See, when you realize God is all you have, we find that God is all we need. Judges chapter 6 and 7 actually, tells the story of Gideon. Gideon was a faithful follower of God. God sent Gideon to rescue Israel from the Midianites. Yet, Gideon had the weakest army in the whole tribe of Manasseh. And Gideon points out to God, and also, God, I am the least in my entire family. Right, so Gideon's very aware of his shortcomings, right? And to make the battle even more interesting, God told Gideon that he has too many men in his army. God told Gideon to reduce the size of his army to just 300 men. So God chose Gideon, the least in his entire family, and he's in charge of the weakest army in all of Manasseh. And God reduces the weakest army to 300 men, and God says, let's go rescue the Israelites, right? I love God. Our weakness in God's hands becomes a strength. And that's a theme throughout the Bible. So if you're feeling weak today, I want to encourage you. God's going to use you. Gideon's strength was his faith in God, that courageous faith. So armed simply with God's promise to be with him, Gideon sets out with his army of 300 soldiers and fought the vast army of the Midianites and won, due to the power of God and Gideon's obedience and his faith. And I love how God defeated the Midianites. God sent confusion among the Midianite army, and they destroyed themselves. They attacked each other. Isn't that great? Gideon didn't have to do a thing. He just watched God deliver them into his hands. But then God explains to Gideon, if I let you all fight the Midianites with your entire army, the Israelites would boast and say that they won. They saved themselves by their own strength. God simply wants to teach us reliance on him. So if you ever feel that God is bringing you to the end of yourself, you're having growing pains. God's just growing you up. Gideon knew he could trust God with his life. But in order to trust God with the details of our life, we have to know God personally. If we don't know him, it's hard to trust him. And so we just have to get to know God, all of us, on a personal level. And connecting with God isn't complicated. It happens much the same way we do with our friends or family. If I feel there's a disconnect in a relationship, I make a phone call and I ask if we can talk. I have a conversation with them. I let them know how much they mean to me, and I explain my desire to close the gap between us. I commit to communicating better, spending more time together, and I simply make that relationship with that relationship a priority. And the same is true with God. You let God know that you desire to draw closer to him in order to know him more. And God is delighted to hear those words from you. In fact, God's been waiting to hear those very words from you. God created all of us so that we could have fellowship with him. God created us to have fellowship with him. Didn't that just blow you away? And remember, the bit is God gave us all free will. So God's not gonna force himself on you. So we need to let God know of our desire to know him more, of our desire to grow closer to him. God tries to get our attention. All throughout our life, God tries to get our attention. He tries to draw us and woo us, but we can ignore God. We can ignore that drawing. And we can ignore it for so long sometimes that we don't even feel it, that it's there anymore. So God wants us to want to be in a relationship with him. So we just have to surrender and show up. So what holds us back? What holds us back from wanting to know God more? I think misunderstandings of God's character could hold us back. As a child, I had a misunderstanding of God, and that misunderstanding was a huge block from me wanting to know him more. I had a harsh view of God. I did not know God personally. What I knew of God came from the pastor of our church and my family. So I viewed the Christian life as a life full of things that I could not do, or a standard I could never measure up to. And I did not desire to grow in my walk with God simply because I didn't think God was fun. I thought God was going to take all the fun out of my life. I really did. And that was a misunderstanding of God's heart. And even though I accepted Jesus into my heart as a child and was baptized, I was simply content with just that for many years. I had no room in my heart for more of God because I had so many plans of my own, and I did not want God to be involved or mess with my plans. See, I had my life all figured out. Pride. Didn't need God. But all I was really doing was feeding the desires of the flesh. And at the end of the day, I wasn't happy at all. I was empty. I lived my life as I wanted to on the weekends and continued going to church on a regular basis. I went about my life, but when struggles and storms crashed upon me, I did not know where to put it. Difficult situations and struggles began to make me simply mad at God. See, I didn't think bad things were supposed to happen to God's people. And I was attending church regularly. So I was disenchanted with God and at the world. And it all began to build up. And I felt such anger. I felt like I was a pressure cooker. And I was just trying to keep the lid on it all before I erupted. I would sit in church and hear the messages about a God of love, but I did not know God personally or his love. I heard about the mercy and the grace that Jesus died to bring us, but I could not internalize it. I heard about the Holy Spirit and of joy and of gladness and of peace, but they were just words. I understood things about God, but it was all intellectual. I was borrowing the testimonies of other believers, and that did help me. That helped me see another arm of God, a side of God that I was not aware of. But I was still seeing God through the lenses of others. Then suddenly, out of the blue, something horrific happened to me. It was devastating, and it was awful. And it shaken me to my core. I was no longer able to keep it together. And I simply unraveled. I saw so clearly now how much I needed God. But I had ignored him for so long. I doubted he would still be there. I ended up going to church one Saturday early in the morning, because I did not want anyone to be there. I walked in the church and headed straight for the altar. I cried out to God because I was desperate to know if he was real. So I asked God if he was real. And I continued just pouring my heart out to God, asking God, do you know what just happened to me? Did you see that? How do I make sense of it all? And I was overwhelmed by shame and overcome with guilt. But I just kept talking to Jesus. And then God, in his faithfulness, reached out to me. I was kneeling at the altar, and it felt as if someone came behind me with a weighted blanket and put it over my shoulders. And I felt the weight of God's presence, the comforting. It was like a hug, almost. And I was aware that that was the presence of God. I knew that God had met me in the midst of my greatest despair. And I soaked in the presence of God. That altar was the beginning of my personal relationship. After that first real encounter with God, I had the assurance that God does see me. I knew he heard me. And I knew personally now that God was real. And even though there would still be fallout from what happened to me, I was still in the fire. But I knew God was in the fire with me. I knew he would sustain me and walk me the rest of the way out. But see, there's nothing special about me, just God in me. God revealed himself to me because I asked him to. It doesn't have to take a tragic event for anyone to get serious about their relationship with God. That's the good news. God is very proactive, and he established a way for us to have relationship with him from the very beginning. From the very beginning, he didn't want this separation between us. God wants to hear our joys, our laughters, as much as he longs to hear our hurt and disappointments. James 4:8 reminds us that if we come near to God, he will come near to you. God encourages us in Matthew to come unto me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. But to come involves an action on our part. Come means to move, to act, to reach, to show up. Requires something on our part. But when I invite God into my heart, when I invite God into my heart and into my situation, into my mess, there's an exchange that occurs. The second I surrender my will, a transaction happens, and the supernatural life of God invades me instantly, invades my circumstances instantly. I bring God, all of me, my will, my desires, my dreams, my hopes, my fears, my disappointments, my shame. And I surrender those in exchange for all of who God is. His joy, not temporary happiness. His peace in the midst of our storm. His grace. Grace is God pouring out on me that which I do not deserve. God wants me just as I am. And his grace washes over me with everything that I could never deserve. Mercy reaches out to the worst part in me, my secret parts. And mercy withholds that which I do deserve. That's what God has for us today. And in order to experience all these gifts God wants to bring us, we have to let go. We have to let go and surrender the failures of our past. I think that's another hindrance to our growth, hanging on to our past, nursing old wounds. Be careful of what we nurse, what behaviors we nurse in our lives. For what we nurse, we nourish. Recounting our failures, retelling the stories of our past, of how we were wronged, simply nourishes those feelings. Nourish your soul on the Word of God, the bread of life, the living water that only God can bring. God wants us to understand that through Him, I'm no longer a victim of what happened to me. That is no longer a part of my identity. My past has been buried with the old nature, and I am a new creation in Him. Hallelujah. But Satan wants to remind me of my past. Satan wants to remind me of my failures, my unworthiness. Satan does not want me to heal and move forward with God. So Satan beats me up. When you're reminded of your failures, church, when you're reminded of your failures, that's not God. God wants to use our past to minister to others. My past no longer has a hold on me. And it does not have to have a hold on you anymore either. Let God have it and let God use it. Surrender your past failures, surrender victimhood, surrender unworthiness, and receive healing and deliverance that only God can bring. Let Him use everything that you have come through for Him. And if we don't know how to surrender, if we don't know how to let go of the hurt, of the disappointment, turn it into a prayer. Tell God all about it, every detail, and then ask God to help you heal. Begin to set a time aside for God, private time, and in doing this, we're giving God a chance to speak into our lives and to reveal Himself to us. We give Him a chance to let us experience Him with our heart. God wants to reveal Himself to us in such a profound way. He wants to show us that He is our rock, that He is our defender, our help in the time of need, our provider, the only source of true comfort and peace. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Many years ago, I went to hear an evangelist, a guy by the name of David Ring. David has cerebral palsy, and he speaks with a speech deficit. But I love how God uses someone with a speech deficit as a powerful evangelist. David's weakness, when surrendered to God, became a strength. A powerful anointed speaker because of the power of Jesus' name. See, our weakness keeps us fully reliant on God. Are you seeing a theme? David's speech was difficult to understand, and I had to really lean in to understand him. But his message was so simple. He said, you got to find your want to. And if you don't have a want to, ask God to give you one. If you don't hunger and thirst for God's word, ask God for that hunger. But maybe you're satisfied with the amount of God in your life. I was for a long time. I was content. But I'm going to be bold here and say Satan wants us to be content with just a little bit of God. But wow, are we missing out? Because see, then Satan has control. Satan has control over your mind. So if you're still battling the same old battles of worth and shame, Satan is winning. But hallelujah, there is deliverance today for you in Jesus' name. You can be free. See, Jesus conquered Satan. That battle's been done. Satan's defeated. And sometimes we just have to remind him it's over for him. It is over. So don't be satisfied with a little bit of God, because God has so much more in store for you. And because of that simple message from David Ring, I became aware that I was complacent. And I was okay with that. I was convicted. I was content with just going to church. I knew I did not have a passion or desire for more of God. I did not have a want to. But after that sermon, I asked God to give me a want to. And I also realized that day, in order for me to know God and his voice, I needed to begin setting aside time for God to reveal himself to me. As I made my relationship with God a priority, I began to understand God's character. I began to know God more, and then I was able to trust him with more. And the fear of having to give up something in order to get serious with God was simply a misunderstanding of God's character. The more I know God and his love and experience God personally, the desires of my heart begin to change. God changes the desires of our heart. Once my spirit is nourished on his word, I'm able to identify the things that I sought after and see how they did not feed me at all. And I wasn't even having fun. I just saw my emptiness. The things that I chased to create, to find moments of happiness that were so temporary. Once I read the truth, I could identify the lies that I'd believed before. But without that truth, it's hard to identify the lie. So spend time with God and in his word, and I promise that God will reveal himself to you. And here's the neat part. God's revelation will be unique to you. See, God created you differently. We're different. And God needs all of us in our own unique way to minister. God wants to use you to show the world a version of God that only you can bring. Everything you have come through in your life is for a reason. And God needs your unique revelation of Him. So don't be ashamed of what God has brought you through. Don't be ashamed, church. Let God have it. He brought you through it for a bigger purpose, for others. And the most important thing you can do, or I can do, is begin to set a time, that specific time with God daily. And don't be discouraged if you leave your first quiet time feeling like you do not connect with God at all. My first attempt at a quiet time was a complete flop. I mean, the words were flat on the page. I was so disappointed because I expected God to show up in a tangible way. You know, it's my first time. I wanted to see a burning bush. You know, I wanted to be in the cloud of meeting. I wanted to know that God met me here. I got out of bed early. You know, I did my part. I showed up and I was disenchanted. So later that night in my journal, I told God all about it. And you know, God's not afraid. It's communication. God's not afraid of my feelings. But I reflected on my failed attempt to connect with God. And as I'm writing God, and I was honest, as I was honest, the words of my mouth just jumped off of the page. And my desires and my motives became so clear. I see that I had selfish motives in meeting with God. I had conditions that I expected to be met. I saw clearly that I was seeking the blessings of God, and His presence is such a blessing. Y'all, you know it. I saw clearly that I was seeking the blessings of God and not just God Himself, and I was convicted. That next morning, I showed up with a different expectation. I was there simply to grow in God's word and to invest in my relationship with Him. And I was determined to simply to show up because God is worthy of my praise. And that became how I would start my quiet time, with gratitude, worshiping God for who He is, not for what He will do. And now I seek the blesser rather than the blessings, and that is growth. So wherever you are in your walk today with God, in your understanding or misunderstanding of Him, and maybe you're still mad at God, that's okay. Maybe you're full of shame and unworthiness. Give it to Jesus. And don't wait until you have it all figured out. Don't wait until you have your life all cleaned up before you invite God into your heart. That's a trap. I can testify to that. Simply ask God to give you a want to, to change and grow in Him. God, we thank You for Your unconditional love to us. We thank You that You meet us in our despair and You fill us with hope. And we identify the lies from Satan, God, we identify them as the lies that they are. And we know that that is not Your word over us, for Your word over us are the words of life. So God, in our weakness, in our humbleness, we simply say, God, I want You to use me. I want You to fill me with more of You. Help me to get over myself. Help me to get beyond myself and what has been to who I am today in Christ and what You will do through me. Take us, God, today. Spirit of the living God, fill this church, fill our hearts with more of You, with a passion for more of You. We simply come, God, and give You all that we are today. May we not leave here the same, God. May we not leave here the same. And if any of you feel God moving in your heart today, and maybe you don't know what it's about, Maybe he's calling you on further with him, deeper with him. You're not alone. Maybe you need deliverance today. You're not alone. So feel free to reach out. Reach out to someone. Reach out to the leadership team here. And let's get busy with God. God, we give you all of this today in Jesus' name. Amen.